In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and it's great to be with you as always. Let's start by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. When we pray that beautiful prayer at the end of the Rosary, the Hail Holy Queen, we also invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's invite Mary to be with us, to guide us, to help us to grow in our friendship with Christ, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. So together let's pray the prayer that Mary loves most. That prayer is the Hail Mary. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now, my friends, let's invite to be with us our spiritual director, our spiritual guide. Our spiritual director, our spiritual guide is the Holy Spirit Himself. Among the many titles that the Church has given to the Holy Spirit are the following. Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. He's also known as the sweet guest of our souls. He's also known as the consoler. He's also known as the counselor. Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of our souls. With respect to our prayer life, the Holy Spirit is also, he's known as the Interior Master. And being honest, we all struggle with our prayer life. Even St. Paul said we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light. Light in our intellect and the interior fire of love to burn within our hearts. As we say, Come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Perpetual Help, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Cyril of Alexandria, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. The family that prays together stays together. So it's always good to start off the day by praying with you. We pray to Mary, and we pray to the Holy Spirit, and we pray to the angels and the saints. So my friends, we're in good company. We're in company because the communion of saints, we invite them to be with us during the course of the day. As we start off our family perseverance conversation. And of course, I'd like to encourage you by praying for you. And I'd like to place you on the altar when I celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I'd like to place you on the altar as we celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. No greater prayer in the whole world. And every time we celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, we're renewing the fruits of Calvary, when Jesus poured forth his precious blood for our salvation and the salvation of the whole world. So my first intention would be, as I've been doing the past couple weeks, that all of us would strive, all of us would strive to be docile and open to the Holy Spirit. To be docile and open to the Holy Spirit. We might pray, come Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Beautiful prayer. My next intention would be, I'd like to pray for your children. For many of your children and your grandchildren, they have vacation. Vacation can be a two-edged sword in that a lot of free time can open up the door to the devil. And how true that idleness is the workshop of the devil. So I pray that you be able to help your children and grandchildren to utilize their time in a profitable way. Not to waste time. As the poet says, time is of the essence. We don't have a long life. Actually, our life is very short. Our life is very short. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. Father Alberto Tablo said that there are two places for rest. The cemetery and heaven. In the meantime, we should work out our salvation in fear and trembling. Work out our salvation in fear and trembling. My third intention I'd like to pray in thanksgiving for the Supreme Court decision that took place on Friday, which happened to be the Solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And all of you know what happened on Friday is that the Supreme Court basically overturn the Roe versus Wade. The Roe versus Wade decision. The Roe versus Wade decision. So I'd like to offer in my Mass a note of thanksgiving for this major victory in our country, and that we would humbly keep working on a grassroots level to get more and more people to defend the unborn child, because still abortions are being carried out on a state level. There are about 51 states that basically prohibit abortion, other 49 accept it. So still we have a lot to do. But we can't deny that that was a major victory for our country. In a certain sense, our country is giving good example to the whole world. There's no doubt the whole world, through the mass media, through the internet, through television, through radio, became aware of that monumental decision. So let's keep, in a humble way, keep praying that this world would reject abortion. So those are the many intentions that I have for all of us today. And there are still many other intentions I'd like to outline for all of us. Many things I'd like to just share with you before we enter into our explanation of the saint that we celebrate today and the readings. Today we'll have, we finished the book of Kings. Now we're moving into the prophets. We'll be moving into one of the minor prophets, is the prophet Amos. Then we'll go back once again to Matthew. We've finished during the past few weeks the Sermon on the Mount. We finished Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. So we'll be in Matthew chapter 8 today. But another prayer intention would be the following. I'd like you to offer a prayer, special prayer. So I'm living in a rectory in Wine Gardens, California, with there are five of us all together. Father Antolini passed away about a month ago, so there are five of us together. And for many years, Father Larry Darnell has been our superior and the pastor for more than 30 years. Thanks be to God. But today, Father Larry celebrates his 40th anniversary as a priest. He celebrates his 40th anniversary as a priest. What a beautiful day it is to celebrate 40 years as a priest. And my friends, we should all get in the habit of celebrating. Part of the human condition should be to celebrate birthdays, to celebrate the Mexicans' quinceañeras, to celebrate silver jubilees, 25 years, to celebrate golden jubilees, 50 years, to celebrate diamond jubilees, 60 years. To celebrate 40 years as an ordained priest is a monument. So I'd like to invite all of you to offer a special prayer. He was ordained in Brazil 1982 on June 27th. So keep that also in your prayers, because we all have to recognize that we form a family. And you're part also of the Oblate family. So rejoice in that and offer a special prayer. Special prayer. Maybe a rosary. Maybe a communion. some special prayer. So, I thought I'd mention that to you. Next, I'd like to mention a very special event that we'll be celebrating tonight. Even though this is not universal, today is the feast day of Our Lady of Perpetual Help. Lady of Perpetual Help is very important, especially for the Filipinos. Filipinos, and some of you in our Persevered family are from the Philippines. The Lady of Perpetual Help is on the Philippines, and they have the famous novena every Wednesday in honor of Our Lady of Perpetual Help. In the city of Manila, there's a church, Our Lady of Perpetual Help, in which it's packed every Wednesday because people go there to honor Our Lady of Perpetual Help, asking for help. And more than once, I've showed you the picture of Our Lady of Perpetual Help that has the child Jesus in her arms. His sandal is falling off. Mary is dressed as a royal queen. Jesus is looking at the angel who's carrying a cross. Jesus is clinging to the finger of Mary with his little hand. Mary's looking in a very serious way at you and me. That's Our Lady of Perpetual Help. This is important day also because I'll explain what we've been doing over the past few weeks. Every week over the past 6 months, I've been going out on mission every week, and sometimes twice a week. So over the past month, I've been going to a church in Alhambra, St. Therese of Lisieux, in Alhambra, and I gave them the spiritual exercises and the Course on the Holy Spirit. But over the past month, I've been giving them a series of talks on consecration to Mary. So tonight is the formal consecration night in which I'll be consecrating a good group of people to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And what they've been doing is they've been following my book, here is a book that was published in 2017, and it's a total consecration through the mysteries of the Rosary, meditations to prepare for a total consecration to Jesus through Mary, Sophia Press. So, a group of about 200 people that have been preparing to make this consecration to Mary. So every day for the past month, they've been meditating on a daily basis one of the mysteries of the Rosary. And after they finish, they'll have another 7 days in which they'll meditate upon also the seven sorrows of Mary using this book. And if you like, you can order this and make your own consecration to Mary. So it's going to be a very beautiful day in honor of Our Lady of Perpetual Help. And I'll just tell you the way we do it. I'll tell you the way that we carry out the consecration to Jesus through Mary, through the mysteries of the Holy Rosary, is I've been giving a series of talks on the mysteries of the Rosary, the scapular. I talked also about the Marian dogmas, the four Marian dogmas of the Immaculate Conception, Perpetual Virginity, Mary's Divine Maternity, as well as Mary's Assumption into Heaven. So I'm giving them both devotion and dogma. A proper Mariology has to have the two D's, devotion and dogma. Devotion without dogma generates into sentimentalism. Whereas dogma without devotion is too dry or arid, so there has to be a harmonious blend. It's like having a salad. You have a salad, there's no condiments, it's not very tasty, is it? So we'll have our consecration mass in the Church of St. Therese. Father Thomas, who's the pastor, will celebrate the mass. I'll concelebrate. We'll preach on consecration to Mary. And then, after the homily, we will bless the scapulars, and we'll impose the scapulars on the people. Now, hopefully all of you have a scapular. Let's see, I've got mine here. Well, we all should have a scapular. Wear a scapular. Here's my scapular that my mother actually made, with the miraculous metal sewed within it. The brown scapular of Our Lady of Montcalm. You should all be wearing this if you're consecrated to Mary. And every time you kiss the scapular, you receive an indulgence, which you can apply to yourself or you can apply to the souls in purgatory. Then we will bless the scapulars. And after we bless the scapulars, then we impose the scapulars on each and every one of the people. So that is the external sign. That is the external sign of consecration to Jesus through Mary. The external sign of the consecration of Jesus through Mary by the imposition of the scapular. So you wear your scapular, and when you get up in the morning, you say your act of consecration, Mary, and you kiss the scapular. What I often do is I'll take the scapular and I'll bless my forehead, my eyes, my lips, my tongue, and my heart, symbolizing that I want to give myself totally to Jesus through Mary during the course of the day. Give myself totally to Jesus through Mary during the course of the day by the wearing of the scapular, the kissing of the scapular. So, the scapular. Then after the scapular, the Mass proceeds as normal. Then what we do after the Mass, at the end of the Mass, is something very beautiful. We expose the Blessed Sacrament. We expose the Blessed Sacrament, and we pray the Rosary in front. We pray the Rosary in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and then what we're going to be doing afterward, after we pray the Rosary. Father Thomas has been given permission. We will make a Eucharistic Marian procession outside the church itself, going around the church itself, carrying the Blessed Sacrament, carrying a statue of Our Lady Fatima, and the people walking behind the Blessed Sacrament, people accompanying our Eucharistic Lord. Like, if you like, an imitation of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And the Church, the Popes, have strongly recommended that we have external manifestations of our love for God, and one would be the Eucharistic processions, Marian processions, May crownings. Then, after going around the church outside, given permission by the authorities of Alhambra, then we enter into the church once again, and Father will be carrying the monstrance with the Eucharistic Lord. Carrying the monstrance with the Eucharistic Lord. Place it on the altar, and then we'll receive the solemn blessing of the Eucharistic Lord. And we'll have the statue of Our Lady Fatima to be with us also. So it's a very beautiful night, and I thought that I would share that with you. Given that area in Alhambra, there's a certain dead spot. We've tried to do live streaming there, but we can't seem to pick up the signal. We may work on that to see if we can in some way pick up the signal so that we can transmit this. It all starts at 7 o'clock tonight. The Mass is 7. Should be finished by about 8:15. Then we'll have the procession, which will last probably about 15, 20 minutes. So in total, the whole celebration will be close to an hour and a half. Something very beautiful. And I've been doing this for many years. Already in August, I'll be doing another one in downtown L.A. in Our Lady of Loreto in Spanish. So I'm trying to offer these programs of consecration. Programs of consecration to Jesus through Mary. Programs of consecration to Jesus and Mary, especially through the recitation of the Holy Rosary. So, my friends, I thought I would share that with you. So, if you could please offer a prayer or two about that, that'd be very helpful. Very helpful. So, liturgically, we have the letter, rather, reading the book of Prophet Amos. Right? Prophet Amos. And we've finished the Sermon on the Mount, so we're into Matthew chapter 8. However, we also today also we celebrate a saint who was able to carry out a very important mission within the church. So the saint that we celebrate today is Saint Cyril of Alexandria. Saint Cyril of Alexandria. And he is well known especially for defending Mary, the Blessed Mother. He's known as the pillar of the faith and the seal of all the fathers. He was a bishop of Alexandria, Egypt. He devoted many of his writings to interpreting sacred scripture and proclaiming faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he gives really good Bible. Really good Bible interpretations. My friends, you can never go wrong in reading and meditating upon patristics. Patristics, which means the fathers of the church. Patristics, which would be the fathers of the church. So for your own personal formation, enrichment, just a word on the fathers of the church called patristics. John Paul II says the church has two lungs, the Western Church and the Eastern Church. The Western Fathers we belong more to the Western, the Latin Church, would be St. Ambrose, St. Augustine, St. Jerome, St. Gregory the Great. Those are the most prominent Latin or Western doctors or fathers of the Church. Eastern fathers of the Church would be, the most famous is St. John Chrysostom. Then you've got St. Basil the Great. Then you got St. Gregory of Nazianzen. Then you got St. Gregory of Nyssa. Then you have St. Cyril of Alexandria and St. Athanasius. Those would be among the most well-known fathers of the Church. The Western fathers of the Church with Augustine, the Eastern fathers of the Church with St. John Chrysostom, and St. Cyril of Alexandria. Now, St. Cyril of Alexandria defended Catholicism in those first, the beginning of the Church. And he proclaimed faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there was a heretical bishop. His name was Nestorius. And he didn't. Nestorius denied that Mary was the mother of God. So, present at the Council of Ephesus, which according to traditions where Mary lived with St. John the Evangelist after our Lord died. At the Council of Ephesus, St. Cyril of Alexandria defended Mary as the Theotokos. Theotokos, which means the God-bearer. And St. Cyril said, it is essential to explain the teaching and interpretation of the faith to the people in the most irreproachable way, and to remember that those who cause scandal, even to only one of the little ones who believe in Christ, will be subjected to an unbearable punishment. So after Nestorius rebuffed Cyril's teachings, the Council of Ephesus in the year 431 condemned Nestorius, his Nestorian Christology. And then St. Cyril died in the year 444. So, thanks be to St. Cyril of Alexandria, the Catholic Church clearly teaches that Mary is truly the Mother of God. That's, of all the Marian dogmas, Mary is truly, truly the Mother of God. In past talks, I've talked about the Marian dogmas in my course on Marian devotion. One of my talks, I did speak about the four Marian dogmas, which would be the Immaculate Conception, Mary's perpetual virginity, Mary being the Mother of God, the assumption of Mary into heaven. Those are the four Marian dogmas. So every time that we pray the Hail Mary, we are reaffirming our belief in Mary as the Mother of God, because we say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So we're eternally grateful, my friends. We are eternally grateful to God for the saints, especially today, Saint Cyril of Alexandria, who defended Mary's greatest privilege, being the Theotokos, the Mother of God. And today also we celebrate, not universally, but we celebrate Mary, Our Lady of Perpetual Help. So let's honor Mary. Let's honor Mary as the Theotokos, the God-bearer. But let's also honor Mary as someone always ready to help us. Our Lady of Perpetual Help. Perpetual means forever. Mary is always, always ready to help us. Mary's always, always ready to help us. She's always ready to help us. And all the circumstances in our life. My friends, this can't be proven, but I really believe that one of the reasons why Roe versus Wade was overturned, I really believe it to be a Marian victory. And I'll tell you why. Is that Relevant Radio prayed millions of prayers to Mary. Millions. And they prayed the Memorare every hour. And their listeners would follow along praying the Memorare with them, with the intention that Roe versus Wade would be overcome. And it was overcome on the feast day of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And it would have been also the birthday of St. John the Baptist. So I'd like to thank God. I'd like to thank Mary because I really believe in the powerful intercession of Mary. What was Mary doing? Mary was basically praying to defend unborn children. There we see the visitation of Mary with her cousin Elizabeth, both of them with their child within, John the Baptist and Jesus within Mary. I really believe that that date was very appropriate because it was the most sacred heart of Jesus, but it was also normally June 24th is the birthday of John the Baptist. And the Sacred Heart of Jesus was actually formed in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's right. The Sacred Heart of Jesus was actually formed in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So I see everything really falling into place. But my friends, never should we underestimate the power of the prayers of Mary. I repeat. Never should we underestimate the power of the prayers of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Never should we underestimate the powers of the prayers of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Never should we do that. Never should we do that. Underestimate the power of the Blessed Virgin Mary and her prayers. So, my friends, there's just a lot of things to thank God for. Many things to thank God for. So, let me go briefly just give you kind of a summary of the prophet Amos, and then we'll move into the gospel today. So over the past few weeks, we've been reading through the Book of Kings, in which we encountered especially the great prophet Elijah. And then Elijah blessed Elisha, who became the successor of Elijah. Elijah was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind with the chariots of fire. He was taken up to heaven. He's taken up in a whirlwind. Taken up in a whirlwind. So we finished the book, the two books of Kings. Now we're moving into the prophets. Let's just talk briefly about the prophets, and then what is the message of Amos we encounter today? The prophets, there are what are called the major prophets, and then there's the minor prophets. The major prophets are four. So the four major prophets would be that of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and the most well-known would be that of Isaiah. They're major because there's more content, more chapters in them. Then you have many more minor prophets. So one of the minor prophets would be that of Amos, the prophet Amos. And I'll just give you an overall summary of the one of the basic themes of Amos. That we're going to be meditating upon the next few days. Amos is a prophetic book which triumphs what's called social justice, the social question. As believers, should we be socially active? Absolutely. Social justice means, well, we have a right, an obligation to love God, but to love our brothers and sisters. But not only to love our brothers and sisters, but also to defend our brothers and sisters that are most vulnerable, those who are weakest. And that would be, thanks to Roe vs. Wade, defending the unborn child in the womb. That's the most defenseless of all of the people in our society, because the child within the womb is a human person that has inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Then we should be defending also the aged, the infirm, the weak, the sick. And we should be defending those who are the immigrants that don't know the language or the culture and are struggling to eke out an existence. So the minor prophet Amos, when you read through it, you're going to see how the weak have been exploited, and how God, through the prophet Amos, excoriates and rebukes strongly those who are taking advantage of the weak. Very simple colloquial jargon, you might even call it bullying. When a bigger person bullies a smaller person, we're all up in arms when this happens. So Amos, my friends, is the prophet that triumphs the whole concept of social justice. Of social justice. So let's pray, my friends, that we'll do all we possibly can to run to the aid of the vulnerable, of the weak, of the sorrowful. Let me tell you a story that I had. Years ago, it was a Sunday. I was very busy preaching in Mass, giving talks to the adults, giving talks to the exercises. It was a very good Sunday. But earlier in the week, someone had asked me to give me a little piece of paper to visit this poor, sick person. I'd put it off because I had a lot of obligations that week. Excuse me. But then it was, I had a little bit of free time in the late afternoon. And I went to visit a home of a poor elderly person who lived all alone. And in the house, it had smell of urine. There was like cat's fur on some of the furniture. And it was a kind of an overweight, disheveled elderly woman. And I went in, I tried to greet her. I tried to show her kindness, and then I heard her confession. I gave her the anointing of the sick, and then I gave her communion. Just spent maybe 10-15 minutes. They're basically trying to encourage her. At the end of the day, when I was examining my conscience, saying, "Lord, hey, what about that homily I gave at the 10 o'clock Mass? Hey, Lord, what about that talk I gave to the adults? What about the talk I gave the spiritual exercises on the two standards? What do you think, Lord? What about that 8 o'clock Mass I said, the homily? What do you think, Lord?" And within the Lord, I felt the Lord was looking at me and say, hey, big man, you know what was most pleasing to me is when you went to visit that old, sickly widow who was alone in her house with a bad smell in the house, those 14-15 minutes you spent with her, That was what made me most happy about all that you did. And talking to the Lord, I said, "Lord, I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. I knew that you would say that. Thanks be to God." Because what the Lord was really saying related to the prophet Amos, which is the book trying to promote social justice, the social question, helping out the elderly, the orphans, the afflicted, the suffering, the abandoned, the depressed, the immigrant, those who are afflicted by worries and fears. We're doing that to Christ. Because Jesus said, "I was hungry and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was a foreigner and you welcomed me. I was sick and in prison and you came to visit me." When? Whenever we did it to the least of our brothers, and we did it to the Lord. So I thought I would share that with you, that we're called to make our holy hour, we're called to pray our rosary, we're called to go to Mass, we're called to meditate upon the Word of God, but also we're called to encounter Christ in the poorest of the poor. In the biblical meditation I give to you, I give you a method, remember? We're going from the mystical to the practical. We're going from the contemplative to the active. That's what we're all called to be, contemplatives in action. How true. I repeat, we're all called to be contemplatives in action. The method that I've suggested that you apply to your meditation is read, memorize, general understanding, personal understanding, and practical application. Read, memorize, general understanding, personal understanding, and practical application. In other words, we want to put into practice. We want to put into practice to apply what we've meditated upon. Put into practice what we've meditated upon. Put into practice what we've meditated upon. That's right. So, my friends, let's move into the responsorial psalm. We've got Psalm 50. And the antiphon is, remember this, you who never think of God. And what the psalm is doing is, going back to the first reading, which have various passages where the poor, the disabled they're being taken advantage of by the strong and the powerful. So the antiphon is, remember this, you who never think of God. When you see a thief, you keep pace with him, and with adulterers you throw in your lot. By your mouth you give free rein for evil. You harness your tongue to deceit. So the psalm is railing against the powerful who are taking advantage of the weak. The powerful that are taking advantage of the weak. Now, the word I used earlier is that of bullying. Bullying, taking advantage of someone that's smaller or weaker or defenseless. We should not be bullying physically, morally, mentally, even cyberbullying. Cyberbullying online is becoming more and more prevalent throughout the country. But rather, we should be there to lift up the vulnerable. Then the gospel, my friends, the gospel today, which is taken from Matthew, is a parallel gospel to what we had yesterday in the Mass. It's a parable. It's a parallel to what we had in the Mass yesterday, in which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is heading toward Jerusalem. And he's heading toward Jerusalem. He invites people to follow him. He invites people to follow him. He's already surrounded by his apostles, but Jesus is inviting more people to follow him. However, what happens is he invites them to follow, but they put up excuses. And one of the verses that Jesus offers us for our meditation today is the foxes have their dens or their holes. The foxes have their dens or their holes. The birds of the air. The birds of the air, they have their nests. And Jesus goes on to say, but the Son of Man, that's Jesus himself, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Really what our Lord is saying is this, is that to follow Him, to be His disciple, my friends, we cannot be attached. We cannot be attached to any person, place, thing, object, even our preconceived ideas of how we think things should be done. In other words, for us to follow Christ, for us to really follow Christ, we have to be free. Be ready and willing to follow Christ wherever He wants us to go. You might even call it the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. So let's pray that we would be free to follow Christ whenever, wherever He invites us to go to be with us. So my friends, we've had a very good conversation. I've laid a lot on the plate today. I've gone through a lot of different things to pray for and activities that we're carrying out. So I'd like to end, as always, by giving you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you in a very special way today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Amen.